So that's Justin Langer putting up a spirited defence that there's nothing, no bad blood between him and Marcus Harris. I can tell you one thing, Cravings Cafe in East Perth, it's not the best cafe in the world. No wonder Marcus wanted to go to Melbourne. With us on the line is our cricketing expert from theroar.com.au, right in the centre of all the best cafes in the universe, Dem Panopoulos. Good morning to you.
How are you, Peter? Nice to be here again.
Are you buying it? Does JL and Marcus, are they mates or what's going on? Who cares?
It's the sort of comments that you can't not expect from Justin Langer. It's the way he batted when he was playing. It's that, you know, that tough, fiery sort of shutting things down, but being on the front foot about it as well. So I think Justin Langer probably sees a little bit of Marcus Harris himself, actually.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, the try and spur him on. I'm sure now he'll say that he was using the words to spur him on. I'm sure there was a little bit of bad blood at the time when Harris left Western Australia, but certainly it's a justified selection.
Yeah, I mean, if you're competitive and you're coaching a team and a guy wants to leave you, you wouldn't necessarily give him a bunch of flowers when he leaves, would you? You know?
No, you wouldn't, especially Justin Langer, who we know is a little bit has a bit of a temper at times. So, yeah. But it might bring the best out of him.
So tell us, what do you think of the squad? I mean, Marcus Harris is only one of 14. There's 13 others in that squad. There's not a lot of surprises, I suppose, other than the lots of Victorians in it.
Yeah, it's an interesting squad. I think Harris was justified and he should be opening the batting.
Yep.
I think Khawaja being fit is a real positive for Australia. He sets the tone at the top of the order.
Yep.
And I think a Harris and Khawaja opening partnership is the best case scenario. Aaron Finch probably batting at 5. That's what he does in first class cricket anyway. So while he batted well at the top of the order in his first couple of test matches, I really see that him being in the middle order will be really solid for Australia. I do think with the squad, though, Peter Siddle's one that stands out as, I know he was in the test squad previously. It's his birthday today, so you don't want to sort of be too aggressive towards
him. On a guy's birthday, yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, he's 34 years old. He hasn't exactly set the world on fire. He isn't bowling any better than he did previously.
Mm.
And I think what he's produced in the last few years just hasn't been up to that international standard.
Yeah.
I don't think he should be in the squad, even though the pace spots for both him and Tremaine are seemingly just insurance in case one of the fast bowlers breaks down.
Yeah.
I still don't think that Peter Siddle having a spot in the squad was particularly justified.
Yeah, it's hard not to argue with that, to be honest. But you know, who else in the pace world has got their hand up at the moment? Not quite ready, are they? Some of the others.
Yeah, no. I mean, you've got some solid performers in the Sheffield Shield at the moment, and I guess the other one, more Victorian. But if you're taking out Peter Siddle, he's Victorian himself. Scott Boland is on top of the leaderboard at the moment.
He is
26 wickets at 17. So he's probably one. You've got the likes of Joe Meny and Jack Bird who, you know, they've had their opportunities in the past.
Yep.
Joe Meny probably could get another go if he keeps bowling the way he's going. You know, he could be better to be in the squad than Peter Siddle. But I guess all that talk is a bit of nonsense. Tremaine's the next in line if someone breaks down anyway. So it's just a 14-man squad to have some coverage.
Well, personally, my belief is we need Cummins, Stark and Hazlewood if we've got any hope of winning. We don't want any of those three to break down, to be honest.
No, absolutely. Our bowling's what wins it for us.
And so what, are you edging towards Hanscom being the other out of the 11?
Well, I'm thinking, actually, I think Travis Head's probably a little bit ahead. He got an 80 in the last Shield match, and I think what he provides with the ball as well, if required, having that second spin option in the team, I think that has him slightly ahead. Hanscom hasn't exactly been seeing the world on fire either in the Sheffield Shield.
No.
He's averaging 38. He had that one really good century, but other than that, he hasn't passed 50. So I'd like to see Hanscom in the Australian team because I definitely think he has a test future.
Mm.
But I think Travis Head should be ahead of him at this stage.
I think Siddle and Hanscom are both in because of that elite character, aren't they?
Yes, the good bloke. It seems to be that way.
Who's the unluckiest person in Sheffield Shield at the moment that didn't make it, in your opinion?
Well, I guess it's Matthew Wade. I mean,
yeah,
he's batting really well.
A bit it's, tough. He's up against a captain, isn't he, at the moment? So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, even playing, if he wants to play as a batsman, I mean, he's been bowling recently in the Sheffield Shield.
Sure,
so
he
that,
has, yeah.
I mean, that shows that he doesn't necessarily need the gloves to be in the team. He's averaging 82 with the bat. He has 450s and a century in 8 innings this season. And, you know, that's as good a form as you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wade has, you know, he's got a checkered past playing for Australia, you know, whether he's in a, you know, in favour or out of favour. He's got, you know, he's got relationships and broken down relationships within the setup. But, I mean, he's probably the most, the person that could feel the most slighted in terms of the squad. You know, there's a couple of bowlers, as I said, many and Bird. You know, you've got Jai Richardson potentially. You know, he's been in the squad previously for some experience, and he's batted pretty well in the limited opportunities he's had. But ultimately, I would have liked to have just been a 13-man squad, to be honest. And if you had Peter Siddall out of it and just had the 13 others,
yep,
I think that would have been fine.
Yep.
There wouldn't be too many arguments because no one's really stood up.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, from a West Australian perspective, obviously credit to Sean Marsh. He was under the pump and he did what he had to do.
Absolutely. I mean, as we've discussed the last couple of times, he's probably the best Australian batsman in our home conditions. And,
yeah,
you know, he's averaging 121 in the two Shield matches he's played, obviously skewed with the not out, but given he's batting in the top order to have not outs anyway, 163 not out, that's, you know, he's the perfect batsman for Australia for this upcoming series. You know, he's always going to have his knockers, especially if he comes out and makes 8 in the first innings of the first test. But, you know, he's done exactly what he needed to do, and, you know, he's really helped Western Australia be second on the Shield table anyway. So, you know, there's absolutely no issues with him being in the top order.
Yeah, no, most definitely. We're speaking with Dem Panopoulos from theraw.com.au. We've had an SMS through Dem saying, what's going on in the women's T20? We should really tell them, I suppose. So the English women all out for 105 at 19.4 overs, and the Aussies right now at the 13.1 over mark are 2 for 93, Lanning on 25, Gardner on 25, looking pretty comfortable. What do you think?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. The bowling performance was excellent by Australia, and the fielding performance was abhorrent. It was the fact that England got 105, Australia could have bowled them out 70, really. Yeah. It was some pretty bad fielding, which, you know, didn't really reflect well on the bowlers. At least Perry ended up being the equal most expensive bowler with 1 for 23 off 3, and, you know, she was stiff. She had a few missed fields that cost her 8 runs, I think. So, but Australia and England have been the two best teams this tournament. They dominated against in their respective semi-finals against West Indies and India.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those were the other two big teams in the tournament. So, you know, the best two teams are in it. It's good to see Australia winning some silverware, you know, for first time for quite a while, barring a sudden collapse, obviously. But I think for the women's team, I think Ashley Gardner's been the real standout at 21 years of age. And, you know, she's batting at the moment. As you said, she's 26 not out. She bowled really well, equal leading wicket taker for the tournament.
Yep.
With her off spin.
Yep.
And I think it's really good sign for Australia that so many young, you know, young women are stepping up, and, you know, they'll take us forward into the future.
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. They only need 12 runs from 6.3 overs with 8 wickets remaining. So they're looking, or 11 runs now. So they're looking pretty comfortable as far as that's concerned. Some defence to the fielding. I think it's like 80% humidity.
Yeah, it's the ball is quite slippery. They've changed the ball a number of times in both innings as well. So, you know, there are some excuses, but, you know, international cricket, just a little bit better would be hoped for. In particular, Ian Healy was quite critical of his knees behind the stump. But yeah, no, Australia is going to win. So, good time.
Yeah, no, fabulous times. And they could even do it in the men's T20. I mean, when you get the fielding, Glenn Maxwell's performance the other night was sensational. He's had a pretty good series, actually. Big game today.
Yeah, and it looks like it's going to be, the weather in Sydney's all clear.
Oh,
I checked
good.
Before, so okay. It's going to be an actual 2020 game. It's interesting, the 2020 internationals, Australia played solid. Glenn Maxwell's clearly been the best player, I think.
Yeah.
And Australia was solid in the first game, despite scoring less runs and winning the game overall.
Yeah, that was pretty bizarre.
Yeah. I wrote something earlier in the week about the 2020 internationals, that Australia should be using it as a potential way to introduce new talent, as opposed to, you know, necessarily looking to be a dominant force, because ultimately we have to be realistic, and Australia's not a dominant force in cricket at the moment, particularly in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I do think that in the back end of the summer, when there's a couple more 2020 internationals and, you know, into the 2019, there should be a focus on youth and bringing in those players that need the international experience, like Jai Richardson getting more opportunities, like, you know, Jason Sanger and Jack Edwards from New South Wales, like Will Sutherland from Victoria. These types of players can, you know, sprinkle in with Glenn Maxwell and Aaron Finch and the like. I think it's a really unique opportunity for Australia to use the 2020 international stage against some of the best players in the world to introduce their new players, and it could fast forward our test successes in the future. So hopefully tonight we see a better, more consistent performance. I think India's spinners will trouble Australia in Sydney, but you know, Glenn Maxwell at the moment, he looks like he's going to hit every ball for six, so you never know. Hopefully Australia can win, but I'm actually liking India a fair bit tonight.
Yeah, I agree with your synopsis of using these T20s, which don't, let's be honest, don't mean all that much. But I think Australia, having had such a poor run of, you know, losses, you know, there's a lot of twitching going on. I don't think Langer's feeling all that confident. I don't think Cricket Australia are all that happy, and I don't think Channel 7 are all that happy either. So, and I think that's indicative of the fact that they've put Stark in tonight.
Yeah, it was a very interesting call. There's a lack of conviction in Australian cricket at the moment,
isn't it? I reckon they're gun shy.
Yeah, it's Dan, like, being out. This was an opportunity to just bring in.
Yeah, there was no mileage in running Stark, in truth, was there?
No, these 2020 internationals outside the World Cup, the 2020 internationals mean nothing, because it's a one match series here, or a, you know, three matches here, or two matches. You know, they're inconsequential to the rest of the, you know, international fixture. And why wouldn't they bring in, you know, imagine just bringing in Matt Kelly for tonight or something, instead of Billy Stanley or Jai Richardson or someone, you know.
Why let the Indians get to see him? What, you know, let's say someone gets a hold of him. You know, because the SCG isn't the best pitch in the world for quick. So, I mean, I could understand it if it was at the Wacker, or, you know, even off the stadium here, and he's reeling them around their ears and puts a little bit of fear in them before he fronts up to them in a test match. But this just seems silly, you know?
Yeah, I think it's an unnecessary risk, especially with the, you know, you hate to sort of, you know, talk about the injury history that our Patriots have had.
It's
You know, you've taken out Billy Stanley, obviously through injury, and you brought in someone that often gets rested from these types of matches.
Yep.
It doesn't quite make sense. It means that Australia is, I guess, really keen to win.
Yeah, that's what it gets down to, I'd say.
Yeah, so we'll see. Hopefully Mitch Stark bowls all right tonight and just gets through unscathed, because I think that's the most important thing for Australian cricket.
So tell me, is Seven covering this women's T20 game, or is that only on Fox?
It's Channel 9. Gem. Yeah, Gem's got it at the moment. So they're covering it, and good coverage. They've got Mark Taylor and Ian Healy giving some special comments in the studio. And I think the fact that the limited overs and T20 stuff has been on Foxtel, you know, there's been a lot of talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it means that the summer is starting delayed for a lot of people, you know,
definitely,
waiting for the test matches. Of course, the tests are the pièce de résistance. They're, you know, that's what we're waiting for.
Yeah.
But I think the interest in the T20s and the one days obviously has been hurt by Foxtel, which I don't know if that was the intention, but it certainly seems to be that way at the moment, as the women have just got their run to win the World Cup. So,
yeah, congratulations to them. They've done it. Yeah, Gardner has. She'd have to be player of the game, wouldn't she? Player of the match, one would suggest. I mean, she took, what, 3 for?
Yeah, she took 3 wickets, got her 30 not out, or something like that. So, 30, you know, a real standout performance by, you know, such a such a young player, which is, again, bodes well for Australia in the future. But, yeah, having Channel 7 just doing the test matches and, you know, 43, I think, games out of the 59 BBL, mm-hmm. it'll be interesting to see what happens with the TV rights and, you know, how it affects Australian cricket. But, yes, I don't know how impressed at the moment Channel 7 or Foxtel would be with Australia's current form.
Yeah, no, as they should have got on to the women, I'd suggest. So, yeah, their Gardner was 33 from 26 balls, 1-4 and 3-6s. Yeah. Not a bad little outing. Not bad at all.
No.
Well, we're excited about Sheffield Shield here at Sport FM, Dem. I don't know about you, but we are, because we cover it ball by ball every West Australian game. And our next one is Tuesday, the 27th, and it's JLT Sheffield Shield Round 5. Who'd believe we're on to Round 5 already? They've crammed that out, and it's WA versus New South Wales.
Yeah, absolutely. That looks to be the match of the round for the one starting on Tuesday, second versus third.
Yep.
You know, I think the other two games are a bit... like Victoria's 10 points clear on top of the Shield table at the moment, which is, you know, which sort of gives credence to the fact that five of Victoria's players are in the test team, test squad.
Yep.
So I guess from that perspective, that's fine. So, but yeah, WA, New South Wales should be a good contest. I'm liking the look of New South Wales at the moment. The fact that they're giving some young guys an opportunity, and, you know, they've got Nick Larkin opening the batting, giving him some games, Sanger and Edwards. I'm not sure the availability of the international quicks, if they're going to bother playing them in this Sheffield Shield match. You wouldn't think so, but... yeah. Yeah, that's certainly the match of the round. Victoria's playing Queensland in, you know, Victoria's well on top, Queensland's well on the bottom. So that appears to be a one-side game. I think this will be interesting. Obviously, the squad has been selected, but there's still a lot to play for. You're looking at Matt Renshaw as a quite clear option, as someone that needs to sort of get some runs next to him. But then you've still got a couple of bowlers that might want to squeeze into the squad and be around that Australian test team, again, Boland, and a couple of the WA quicks. I mean, Cam Green, I know I've spoken about him a couple of times, but and he's only bowled about 65 overs in the three games so far, but, you know, his strike rate's unbelievable, doesn't get hit for many runs, equal leading wicket taker for Western Australia. So, you know, having some of those young guys playing Shield at the moment, that's certainly going to hold them in good stead and hopefully push them up into the international frame.
Most definitely, mate. Once again, this.
Yep.
Well, let me squash this straight away, right?
Did you get that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, very good.
I'm going to be using that grab for a while, let me tell you. All right, Dem, thank you so much for your time here on Sport FM this morning, and we look forward to speaking in a couple of weeks. Well, by then, we'll know how we went in that first test.
Absolutely. Look forward to it again. Thanks, Peter.
Good on you, mate. Dem Panopoulos from theraw.com.au. Let's take a break.